boldness. Good afternoon and welcome to 3CR 8:55 AM on International Day of Disability. Today we are talking about the importance of self-advocacy. The boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. And today we have got two very, very, very important guests. We have got Cameron Bloomfield, who is a self-advocate from Voices at the Table. How are you today, Cameron?
I'm good, thank you for asking.
And we've also got Jared from the self-advocacy unit, who is the coordinator of the self-advocacy unit. Welcome to the boldness, Jared.
Thanks, Raphael. It's nice to be here. I'm actually the coordinator for Voices at the Table.
In that case, and today we are also joined by Jared, who is the coordinator from Voices at the Table. Welcome to the boldness, Jared.
Thank you so much for having me on. Both of us.
It is an absolute pleasure. Now, we're going to have a chat about self-advocacy. Now, Cameron or Jared, which one of you would like to have the first shot at what self-advocacy is?
Advocacy is about people with disability speaking up for themselves and making themselves, who are the expert, know what's best for them to advocate for themselves.
And Jared, what are your thoughts? What is self-advocacy?
Very good question. So I'm only brand new to the service staff, and I had a very different idea before I came here. I thought self-advocacy was about people, individuals speaking up about their individual needs. But what I've realised is that the self-advocate, the word self in self-advocate comes from, because often is the case that non-disabled people are often our advocates. Advocating for their community. So I think that's quite different from what we're used to of able-bodied people advocating for disabled people. Self-advocates are actually disabled people advocating for disabled people. So there's a bit more power behind it.
And as part of your roles, let's talk about the types of organisations that, for example, there is the Self-Advocacy Resource Centre. What is the Self Advocacy Resource Centre?
So it's actually the Self Advocacy Resource Unit. And what we do is we supply resources to all different self-advocacy groups. Maybe Cameron can talk about what self-advocacy groups we have. But we might supply them with materials and building spaces and support for them to do the important work they do. Can you speak about what self-advocacy groups exist in Sabu and around
Sabu? Yeah, not at all. So there's a total of about 19 self-advocacy groups, and I'll mention some of the names, which are unique ones. So you've got Reinforce, which is a self-advocacy group for people with intellectual disability. You have Positive Powerful Parents, which is a self-advocacy group for people with intellectual disability who are parents who have had their kids taken off them by the system. You also have Rainbow Rights, which is a self-advocacy group for people with intellectual disability in the LGBTIQA+ community. You also have First Deadly Nation self-advocacy group, which is a self-advocacy group for people with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injuries who are Aboriginal. And there's all different, you've got self-advocacy groups in Bendigo, Warrnambool, South Gippsland area, you know, but in total there's about 19 self-advocacy groups that SARU helps and supports.
So that's actually, it appears to me that's quite a lot. So it's not actually one size fits all, but there's specialised, or it sounds like it's very specialised places where people can go to gain assistance for their advocacy depending on how they do identify?
Yes, there's one person that I'm aware of that he's actually a member of two different self-advocacy groups. So he's a member of, say, Rainbow Rights and also a member of Reinforce. Because being a member of Rainbow Rights, being a member of, say, Rainbow Rights means that you have two different parts to your personality. You're part of the LGBTIQ community, plus you also have an intellectual disability.
And Cameron?
We know that people with disabilities are often put into a box. They're either a person with an intellectual disability or they're not, and they're nothing else. Whereas the three of us would know that we belong to multiple different communities and we go through multiple different things in our lives. So of course we are parents, we might belong to the queer community, or we might be Aboriginal. We're not only people with disabilities, we are also people with disabilities who are queer or parents or Aboriginal. And the way these groups come about is through the lived experience of people with disabilities. So they're not just picked up out of the blue and run for 6 months. These are groups that people have asked for. And the people behind them are incredibly motivated and incredibly hard-working. Up until recently, Cam worked on Rainbow Rights, and another person called Romeo has done some really powerful work in the powerful parent space, and they've actually won a short film festival, and now they're going to America to talk about positive, powerful parents, which is absolutely incredible, of the reach that we're able to get from the hard working of the South Africans.
Yeah. Why is it important that there are groups and centres where people can gain assistance to do with advocacy? Cameron?
It's important because of the fact is that people with a disability are normally left out and forgotten about, and they're put into a box, and it's important that people are aware that we don't just have a disability, we also have experience in other parts, you know, of our own lives, or, you know, we can also contribute to society just like everybody else. It's important that, you know, people with disability know how to speak up for themselves, you know, and, you know, doing, say, voice at a table training gives people the expertise and the knowledge how to speak up for themselves for the bigger picture, and, you know, speak up for other people with the same disabilities as they do.
Well, is it, Cameron, with voices at the table, and it also extending this across to Jared, how many people would be accessing the advocacy groups approximately? Is there a lot of people that are looking for advocacy?
Well, I've been with, like, Voice at the Table for, like, six years now, which is a long time. And we've trained up a lot of people through Voice at the Table, and also with part of training a lot of people up, they've come onto, they've joined self-advocacy groups. They've even joined two of our graduates actually become trainers themselves for Voice at the Table. You know, so it's also I also did that as well. I did the Voice at the Table train, and then I become a trainer for Voice at the Table. So it's empowering people and their skills to do things what they can do. Within their self-advocacy journey.
So Voices at the Table has become a natural opening of a door for a lot of people with intellectual disabilities. They do our training. We did training about a couple of weeks ago today in store. And one piece of feedback that we got was, I always felt alone, now I don't feel alone anymore. And it sounds really simple, but I think that the power of the Voice at the Table training is it gives face to what people with intellectual disabilities go through and how it can support them to actually think about the bigger picture of what they would like to do in their lives.
Well, it's now time for us to play some community service announcements.
The Boldness thanks our program sponsors, Clubmates Travel, for their financial support.
Clubmates Travel are NDIS registered providers specialising in supported holidays for people living with disability. Their holiday packages include accessible accommodation, transport, an itinerary full of inclusive activities, and fun support staff. Everyone deserves a holiday.
Visit clubmatestravel.com.
Tune in to Embodied Solidarities, 3CR's broadcast for International Day of People with Disability. On 3rd of December, from 7am to 7pm, we'll feature local to global solidarity discussions, music and art. For details, visit 3cr.org.au/Disability Day 2024.
Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR 8:55am as part of International Day of Disability. And we've got the absolute pleasure of being joined by Cameron Bloomfield, who's a self-advocacy from... And we've got the absolute pleasure of being joined by Cameron Bloomfield, who's a self-advocate from Voices at the Table, and Jared, who is the coordinator of Voices at the Table. Now, Jared, I should say Cameron, I think that you've actually been nominated for an award recently. Tell us about this award that you've been nominated for as part of your role in advocacy. What's it actually called?
So I've been made a finalist for the 2024 Victorian Disability Awards, and the category is called Pride Champion. From all the work that I do with the self-advocacy group I'm in, the work that I do with Voice at the Table, all that work is I've been notified and been made as a finalist, and that award gets drawn on the 3rd of December.
Well, is that what we're hoping is that you actually win the award, and then we can have a very detailed discussion on being the Pride Champion at the Disability Awards. Now, what has happened over the past number of years, there was the yes or no that for marriage that came through, I think it was a few years ago. I get lost track with the years with
it. It might be 2018.
2018? Yep.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yep, and there was a referendum giving people who identify as part of the LGBTQIA+ community, and I think that's the latest acronym I have. Now, as far as disability goes, is there a large number of people who are not only who are part of the disability community, who also identify as the LGBTQIA+ community, be able to have their voices heard?
So for example, in Victoria, there are two self-advocacy groups that identify. One self-advocacy group is they're both LGBTIQ self-advocacy group. One's in South Gippsland area, and therefore people with acquired brain injuries and intellectual disability. I can't remember how many members they've got, but the self-advocacy group that I'm in is called Rainbow Rights. And when I first started, which was back in 2018, we had about 6 or 7 members. And since I was a peer worker for Rainbow Rights, we've grown to having about 20 members online and in person. So, and that's 20 members all with intellectual disability. So there are people out there that have intellectual disability that identify as being part of the LGBTIQA+ community, you know, and it's amazing how big our group's grown since 2018.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that the rights of intellectual people with disabilities who are a part of the queer community, have we gone forwards or have we gone backwards?
In a way, I reckon we've gone forwards a little bit, but not too much forwards, because it makes it hard having like an intellectual disability like myself, and then also being part of the LGBTIQ community, in some ways we get left out of both, you know, both things. If you're LGBTIQ, people don't necessarily recognise people with disabilities, but then if you're got an intellectual disability, they don't recognise that you've actually also got a sexuality preference. You know, you could be LGBTIQ, you know. It makes it quite hard.
Look, and it actually is, with as far as rights and being able to speak up for them, what are the types of issues people approach advocacy groups which they may need assistance with, starting with Jared?
I think there is often two different lanes of support that we provide. The first lane is people not knowing what their rights are. So we support groups to be able to support people to find out what their rights are. And then once they realise what their rights are, then the second lane of work that often comes is educating society on upholding those rights of people with disabilities. And that could be the hardest bit, is one, self-advocacy, realize their human rights, how do they speak up for themselves? And that's why we run training called How to Speak Up in a Big Way, which Cameron has done and probably facilitated as well, haven't you? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
And so we have different models of training to support people in different environments. So we have all heard the government recently talk about how they want people to, how they want to co-design everything with people with disabilities. But how can you co-design something when maybe the meeting is not accessible to everyone? So we really strip that back and say, well, if you're holding a meeting and you want people with intellectual disabilities to be at that meeting, here are 10 things we need to do. And so that's where our training on how to be on, what's it called, how to be on committees, advisory boards, and
so it's how to be on boards, advisory committees, and there was advisory committees and steering groups.
Yeah, so Cam knows much more than I do. But we run training about how to run good meetings, because how are we meant to include people in intellectual disabilities? How are we meant to include people with disabilities if at the very first meeting it's not accessible?
Yep, and Cameron?
And also add to that as well, that we give people with disability, intellectual disabilities or acquired brain injuries, the knowledge of how to be included in the meetings, and also we also pass on the knowledge of, you know, experienced trainers and how to, you know, speak up for themselves within the meetings. If you don't know something, we use a red card system. So the red card system is about, if I'll be in a meeting and if someone uses a jargon word, I'll hold up a red card and then they will stop and explain what that word is because they've just used a jargon word. You know, and which is very important For people with disabilities, for everyone to be on the same playing field, so that, you know, you're not people aren't using jargon words and letting people with disabilities wonder what you're talking about. So we teach them how to speak up for themselves.
And Jared, would you like to add to that?
I think Cam said that pretty well. And this is not just about improving South Africa's development, but also supporting services and organisations to be more inclusive of people with disabilities, especially people with intellectual disabilities. Because we also run training for organisations too.
Which the training for organisations we run, we go in there and show organisations how to include people with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injuries within meetings. We actually developed a resource called Top 10 Tips, and these Top 10 Tips shows organisations what to do from tip one to another tip, how to welcome people in, and also, you know, and make sure that they're not, the person with a disability is not treated like a token symbol. So you're not just ticking a box because you have to have a person with disability. They're actually fully included within the meeting.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say thank you very much to Cameron and Jared for talking about self-advocacy as part of International Day of Disability. The best way to contact Jared and Cameron is go to www.saru.net.au. Now, very quick remembrance for International Day of Disability. I'd like to take a moment to remember Finn Meir, who is a great disability advocate and co-host of The Boldness for many decades until he passed away very suddenly earlier in 2024. And also to remember the great work of Larissa McFarlane with her advocacy when Disability Pride is back, the mural went up, there came the gold standard for access and inclusion. And we're going to finish up with a song, Access, Access by Johnny Crescendo. Thank you very much for joining me on International Day of Disability on 3CR. Keep listening to 3CR, 8:55 a.m.
Access, access, united we're strong. We won't go away because we know you're wrong. Access, access, you've had your way too long. We're here and we're gonna stay. You closed all the streets, the shooters out of town. You tried to give us sweets as you took away our ground. We don't want treats as our lights are going down. What we want is access now. Access, access, demonstrate your rights. You got a right to be here, you got a right to fight. Access, access, no sacrifice. We're here and we're gonna stay. You bar us from your services, your barricade, your pubs. You ban us from your restaurants, your sleazy nightclubs. The balloon's gone up and now it's down to us. What we want is access now. Free the city.